we do. And we are a blessed nation, and we are blessed people, and it is good to know that God is for us, He's not against us, He loves us, and He wants us to have the very best, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so I thank God today that He is a merciful God that has loved us and is loving us and will continue to sustain us by the grace and mercy. And so we thank the Lord for it all. If you have your Bibles today, hold those up high. That's the sword of the Spirit. If not, there's a Bible there in the pew. It's going to be projected on the screen here. And we're going to go right on in. We are getting close to Easter Sunday. And so I just finished up a series last Sunday, and so I want to go in a little bit, and I want to speak to you for the next few Sundays as we get closer in to crucifixion, as we will be seeing this, and we will also go into Easter Sunday and through Palm Sunday as well. But if you would turn with me to the Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse, Matthew 16 and 21. The title of my message today is this, and we want to welcome those to watching today, and we pray that something that I may can say to you to encourage your family, to help you along the way as we get into God's Word today. My title is The Calvary Road. The Calvary Road. And this is truly a road that Jesus went down. And I want us to look a little bit here today as we're getting closer into Easter Sunday. And we want to see this in Matthew 16 and 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. And then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Verse 23, but He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Verse 24, and then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Verse 27, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." Can I hear an amen to God's Word? I want you to see this passage with me a little bit on this Calvary Road. This here is a retreat at Caesarea at Philippi. It is a place that is quiet that Jesus knew about. And yet, we all need quiet times with our Lord. And here was a time that Jesus was getting with his disciples and he was explaining to them what is going on. And yet I want you to know today that there's life-changing lessons from these disciples, as we will see today. Yet the question was, whom say ye that I am? Jesus asked that question to his disciples. And yet Peter's confession and the Lord's revelation of the church, and yet the most difficult lesson of it all was the cross. It was just something that the disciples could not grasp. They could not understand. They didn't know why their Lord and Savior had to be crucified on a tree. They just could not understand it. But yet the disciples learned that Jesus is on his way to Calvary's cross. He was letting them know that there is something that must take place. He was letting them know that what is about to take place is something that it was not just him, but it was his heavenly Father was wanting him to know and to do and to follow out what his heavenly Father had instructed him to do. You see, Calvary, I want you to see today, is the name used in the King James and in the New King James for the place outside of Jerusalem where the Lord Jesus was crucified, as we see in Luke 23 and 33. No one knows for sure why this place that he was to be crucified was called the Skull, S-K-U-L-L, but the most likely reason is that the site was place of execution. It was a place where killing took place. The skull is a widely recognized symbol of death. And yet this site may have been associated with a cemetery, although its location near Jerusalem makes it improbable that the skulls could be viewed there when the killings took place. And perhaps this area was outcropped of rock that is in some way resembles a skull, which this was a place that they say that was called the place of skulls. My first point today is this: the Christ of Calvary Road. The Christ of Calvary Road. We see this clearly as in Matthew 16 and 21. From the time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples, how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Now, I know that had to be a hard thing for the disciples to listen to Jesus and to see what Jesus was clearly trying to say, but they still couldn't quite grasp it, because everything headed to Calvary's Road and the place that's called Skull, they knew that it was death. And Peter says, "Oh no, Lord, you're not going to do that. Oh Lord, no, you're not going to go anywhere near that." And Jesus looked at Peter, and Satan within Peter began to rise up, and Jesus began to rebuke Satan when Peter said what he said, because he knew that it wasn't just Peter saying that, but it was the enemy was saying, "Oh, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that." And Jesus clearly let Peter know, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I've got to do what my Father has asked me to do. What is that, Pastor? He was to sacrifice. He was to become the ultimate sacrifice for you and I and for the world. And therefore, he was to follow out what his Father had him to do. I want you to know today that disciples were longing for the kingdom. And they thought the kingdom was now at that time. They thought it was coming. They thought Jesus was going to set everything up and everything was going to be great and everything was going to be fine. But their reaction to the event began to proceed in this retreat as Jesus was explaining. I am reminded that the multitude listened to Jesus in chapter 13. The 5,000 that were fed, Jesus walked on water. We see that in chapter 14. We see the religious leaders rebuke with authority. We see this in chapter 15. Everything was leading up to Calvary's Road. They thought the kingdom would soon be established, but yet they did not realize that their Lord and Savior was going to be crucified. Now the revelation had taken place. Now Calvary's Road was about to take place. And yet how shocking to these men that Jesus had come to die. I've always said that Jesus was born to die. He was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And we celebrate all this around Christmas time. But folks, I want you to know today that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have victory. You and I can sustain, and you and I can be what Christ would want us to be because of crucifixion. And because of the blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross, you and I now have life and have it more abundantly. And now we no longer have to go that we don't have any hope, because today, folks, we have living hope because our Lord and Savior bled and died over 2,000 years ago, died on the cross, arose on the third day, seated with the right hand of the Father, and therefore you and I have victory because of him following through with what his Father wanted. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the Father wanted a great sacrifice, and he offered up his one and only Son, that the cross that he bared and the nails that was placed upon him therefore causes us to have victory today. You see, the streets from Pilate's hall to Calvary's call, the Via Dolorosa was the road. But the Calvary Road is from the manger to the cross. All his life, Jesus walked the Calvary Road. I want to share this with you again. All his life, Jesus walked the Calvary Road. I want you to know today, our sins took him to the cross. Your sins, my sins, took him to the cross. And this was why he came into the world, because all sin and iniquity was placed on a cross. It was nailed to a tree, and therefore you and I must always go by the way of the cross. We don't get it right all the time, but we must come back to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because all sin was placed there, and now you and I have victory today because of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on a tree. As we see this clearly in Matthew 16 and 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Can you imagine this? This is Peter rebuking our Lord and Savior, and said, "Lord, let it be that it should not happen to you." But when he turned to Peter, he says, "You are an offense to me, For you are not mindful, look at the word here, you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Folks, I want you to know today, it is never for us to look with the natural eye. It is never for us to look to the flesh, but it is for us to look with the spiritual eyes. Jesus was clearly not just dying for men and for everything else that was around him. He was dying for the world because the world was lost. The world did not know. The world did not have a Savior. But when Jesus Christ died on that cross, then the world could be saved. It can be delivered. It can be healed. Why? Because Jesus went through death, hell, and the grave. He arose on the third day. He is seated with the right hand of the Father. Therefore, you and I have freedom, and we have the liberty to know that Jesus Christ can sustain us, and there is living hope in Christ Jesus. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I want you to know today that God clearly saw you in mind and saw me in mind. I've said it and we'll say it again. We could have been born in the 40s. We could have lived in the 40s. We could have lived in the 30s. We could have lived in the 1800s. But folks, we're in the 21st century. You're here not by chance. You are not here, but you are here because God has placed you here for such a time as this. It is not merely for you just to exist in the world, to be buried 6 foot in the ground and be done with. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. How can that plan and purpose be executed in your life? Because now Jesus Christ has come, and because of Calvary's cross, you have a way that God is preparing, and that way is prepared through His Son Jesus Christ. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And now He has given you life and life more abundantly. Why? Because of Calvary's road. Peter didn't want to hear about the cross. A lot of people don't want to hear about the cross because the cross is death. You see, the world would like to find another way. Oh, there's another way, but not the cross. Oh, no, not the cross, not being crucified. As we read every Sunday morning in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We live by faith in Christ Jesus. Listen, not only is the world would like to find another way, but a code of conduct that would save. This is what the world wants to reach out. A religious ceremony that would cleanse from sin. Maybe we can just go through the motions. Maybe we can go through religious this and that and the other. No. Jesus clearly lets us know. He lets us know in John 14 and 6, and that is that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He's everything. There's nothing else that Jesus Christ, He is that to us all. To all. Listen, the need of the cross reveals our sinful condition. If we had no sin, then there would be no need for us to come to church. There would be no need for us to be saved. There would be no need for no crucifixion. There would be no need of Christ. But because Christ has come, and because of the love of Christ has come, because of the crucifixion, because of the cross, now you and I can be saved. We can be delivered. We can be healed. The need of the cross reveals our sinful condition. Now we learn the seriousness of sin. Only His blood can wash our sins away. Only His blood. Only what Christ has done, and what Christ has done will last in our hearts and in our lives. Revelations 1 and 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, has washed us. Why? Because of the shedding of God's blood. The Father saw His Son, but yet could not look upon Him. And God the Father had to turn His face away because He could not see sin. And sin was placed on the cross. And this was a moment where Jesus looked to the Father and said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? If you've ever felt like you've been forsaken, Jesus has felt that way, that He was forsaken. But clearly, as He began to cry out to the Heavenly Father, He realized and said, Lord, it is finished. It is done. In other words, He said, I've done everything that You've asked Me to do. It is finished. I want you to know that Jesus would suffer and die even at the hands of religious men. Religion, hear me today, cannot save. Only Jesus can save you. Religion cannot save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. My third point today is this: the call to the Calvary Road. The call to Calvary Road. Matthew 16 and 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. If we are to do and be as Christ would want us to be, we must take up our cross. Jesus has already taken up His cross. Now it's for us to take up our cross. But before we can take up that cross, we must deny ourselves. In other words, it's not about us, but it's about Christ and Him crucified. It's about what Christ does in our hearts and in our lives. We must follow Him. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father and His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works. The Calvary Road is the road of surrender. I want you to know that today. Calvary Road is a road of surrender. In other words, we must be willing to surrender all and say, Lord, You're Lord of all in my life. If you're not Lord of all, then you're not Lord at all. You must be Lord of all in my life. Listen, the Calvary Road is that road of surrender. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was the road of surrender. He prayed so hard that His sweat became as drops of blood. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine praying so hard that your sweat became as drops of blood? Matthew 26 and 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will." God the Father never responded to say, "I'm going to save you, son. I'm going to pull you out. I'm going to take care of you." No. But the humanity in Christ cried out and said, "Lord, let this cup pass." But he never heard from his heavenly Father. Therefore, he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." This was the call to Calvary's Road. In other words, it was to be fully surrendering. Today, we are to fully surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our problems, with all of our circumstances, with all of our situations, with everything that goes on in the hustle bustle of life. What are we to do? We are to surrender to His authority. We are to surrender to His Lordship. Why? Because He sees the very best in us. He's taking care of us. There's no surprise to anything that goes on. It may be a surprise to you. It may be a surprise to me, but it's not a surprise to God. Again, as Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, obedience to death of the cross. We must obey the surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 and 5, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Look at this, folks. Jesus was not claiming to be equal with his Father, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming into the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Folks, I want you to know today he fully surrendered to Calvary's Road, and he fully surrendered unto the Lordship of his Father and said, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." Knew no sin. Sin was placed upon him on the cross, became that bondservant, and began to serve human as he was with humanity. And he began to what? To relate to you and me on a daily basis. He went through pain. He went through suffering. He went through so much, so that you and I could understand a little bit about what Jesus went through. Then we know that Jesus, without a shadow of a doubt, as he went through death, hell, and the grave, we know that he's the victor, that victory has come because he has gone through the life that you and I are going through every day. And guess what? Jesus Christ is moved by compassion. He is moved by compassion. The Bible says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." All have sinned. But I am reminded in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, if we humble ourselves, if we begin to realize that we cannot save ourselves, that Jesus Christ is the ultimate healer and the Savior of our hearts and our lives. Listen, the Calvary Road is that road of sacrifice. Matthew 16 and 24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." The Calvary Road is the road of service. Matthew 16 and 27. "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to His works." Listen, Jesus will soon come back. He is coming back with rewards. What? To reward His people, to reward those that love Him, to reward those that are seeking Him, those of getting the rewards of those that are wanting Him to come back. Our service in the light of His sacrifice, our service in the light of His return. In my closing today, the question would be, are you committed to the Calvary Road? Are you committed to the Calvary Road? Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to say, "Lord, I give everything to You. I'm willing to lay everything down, Lord, and I'm willing to just hand it over to You," because in any given time, we'll make a big mess out of it if we just try to handle it. And we do sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll try to handle it and say, "God, I'll bother You. You're a busy God out there in the heavens. I'll bother You when I need You, but right now I don't need You." God wants to be in the middle of the small things as well as the big things. He wants to be in the middle of everything that you're doing in life. Are you committed to Calvary's Road? Christ has walked the road before you and I. The question would be, will you follow Him there? Will you surrender? Christ has been on the Calvary Road. We see the common reactions to the Calvary Road. Like, I don't know about that. I don't know if I'm willing to do that. You know, those are those questions that we have to examine our hearts and our lives. But I do want you to know that Jesus Christ is with you. The story goes of a little boy, and he was going down the street to hop on a bus. And he was waiting for the bus, and there was a elderly gentleman there that was by him, and he walked up to the little boy and he says, "Are you waiting for the bus?" And he said, "Yes." He said, I'm waiting for the bus to pick me up." He says, "Well, if you want the bus to pick you up, you're going to have to walk down at the block where the bus picks people up." And he said, "No," he said, I'm going to stand right here." He said, "The bus will pick me up." And so the little boy looked at the man, and the man looked at him, and he said, "Well, son," he said, "nobody's ever been picked up right here. You have to go to where the bus stops." And he says, "If you're going to get on the bus, you've got to go to the bus stop." And he says, "No," he said, I'm going to stand right here." He said, The bus will pick me up." So the gentleman thought he was really rude. And the gentleman said, "The bus is coming now, son. If you want to get on the bus, you need to get to the bus stop." And the little boy looked at the man and said, "No," he said, "he's going to pick me up here." And sure enough, as the bus came up, the bus stopped where the little boy was at. And the bus driver opened up the door, and the little boy went up the steps, and the elderly gentleman watched him go in that bus. And the little boy turned around and looked at the older gentleman and said, the bus driver's my dad. He's picking me up. And I want to say this. Jesus is your bus driver. And Jesus will pick you up wherever you are at. But you got to know that Jesus is in charge. This little boy knew that his dad was the bus driver. The elderly man didn't know that. He just thought he was trying to catch a bus and he had to get to the bus stop. But the little boy knew his father. I want you to know today, Jesus, God the Father, has sent his son. And he is there for us to pick us up. He is there to pick us up. When you may have doubts, you may have fears, you might be frustrated, you might want to throw your hands up and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Listen, Jesus is your bus driver. He will pick you up right where you're at. Stand with me across the building today. He is exactly what you and I need. There's great things in life that we can achieve. There's nothing wrong with that. If it's education, if it's money, houses, cars, whatever it is. But nothing is more satisfying to satisfy our hearts and our life is knowing Jesus and making Him known. Knowing Jesus and making Him known. We just read today, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing in this world worth losing. There's nothing in this world. I don't want to miss heaven for the world. I want to make sure that I make it into heaven. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we see today,